I love the affirmations in that meditation hymn that we opened with. There is nothing negative that the Lord has said he will do for us. I will lift up my eyes, I say, and the Lord shall preserve us. It's just affirmation after affirmation. Now the exhort this morning was a bit of a challenge because I started off with going to do another exhort on the heart and collective groans now, if you want. But I chose not to because it morphed into something so totally different. And if you just give me a second to bring it back up again, I thought I had it on screen, but it shut down. I thought about maybe trying to get hymns to match the exhortation, but once I worked out where this exhortation was going, I thought, nah, there's no way that's going to happen. And there's not a lot of actual scripture reading, there are references to scripture in this, but this is a life lesson. And in the end, I titled the exhortation Concrete Trucks and Beating Up Ankles. If you can think of a hymn that goes with that, let me know. Okay, now I mentioned this at the beginning of my presiding last week, that we'd had some issues with our prayers. It's a hybrid and did some dumb things, or what we thought were dumb things. Now Prius is a bit of a naff sort of car. It's not the sort of car that people want to steal in big numbers, and I'm feeling quite happy about that fact. But I thought it's a bit like being a Christian. You know, the world looks on us as being a little bit naff when we go to church on a Sunday and don't partake of the things of the world. So there's a lot of similarities between the Prius and being a Christian already. So on with the story of the Prius. It was a bit of an event for me. I was heading to work, trying to get there on time, as I usually try to do. And just out of Pyro, there's some passing lanes, and in front of me was a concrete truck. And I thought, oh, I'm going to catch you by the passing lanes, and hopefully I can get past you and you won't slow me down going through the gorge. Anyway, I get to the top of the hill going over the passing lanes, right up beside the concrete truck, and he's looking down at me. And the Prius goes cough. And slows down quite markedly. Just as I'm trying to edge in front, foot to the floor, not going any faster. And the guy's looking at me. And I'm going to this guy beside me. Anyway, there's another truck coming up behind me, and he's looking as though he wants to pull out and overtake the concrete truck as well. And I thought, this isn't good. So I eased off in behind the concrete truck, over to the side, and the car's going slower and slower and slower. So it's hit limp mode. Okay, it's a bit of a long story about what happened to the car. For some reason, when we went into the auto electrical shop, they worked out that the throttle body wasn't actually receiving any signal from the accelerator. And for those of you who know electric cars a little bit, there's no actual wire connection between your accelerator and the engine. The accelerator talks to the brain of the car, which talks to the throttle body, which then feeds the gas. So somewhere in there, the signal wasn't getting through. There was possibly a number of reasons this happened. Signals got mixed up. Somebody online says, well, maybe the fuel tank filler cap wasn't breathing properly and it was actually vacuuming the fuel tank, and the fuel pump actually gave up trying to suck because it couldn't do it anymore. And the brain of the car, the ECM, said, well, I'm not sure what's happening here. I'm not getting any fuel. I haven't got any error codes for this. I'm going to go into limp mode just to protect everything. And it did. So we went into the auto electrician, like I said, could have been any of a number of things, this faulty sensors, fuel restrictions, even the faulty brain on the car, the ECM. And that's basically the condensed version, and we'll just elaborate a little bit more on the relationship between the car and its problems and us as we go. The ankle is the other part of the story. It's not just the dumb act of jumping out of a rubbish skip at an age where I probably shouldn't be, but it's more about the physical results of that and how the nerve pain sends signals to our brain, pretty much the same way that our car sensors send signals to the ECM. So physically, the nerve pain thing, this can mean our ECM, our brain, gets signals, like my ankle, the nerves in my ankle saying, I'm hurting, stop what you're doing to me and do it differently so it doesn't hurt so much. So our brain says the pain is not good, and it signals the muscles to protect the pain area, and the body goes into limp mode. See, we have a similarity with the Prius already. Nerves are like faulty sensors, telling the brain that things are not good. And when physically things happen that are not capable of normal operation, we hit the accelerator in our lives and next to nothing happens. A bit like the Prius on Turner's Hill. So we take time out like the Prius in an auto shop to reset the error codes, let our fuel catch up with our bodies, and we are repaired or healed, though possibly not 100%. Now the ankle is only an example where our brother Leo, with his foot ligament letting go, with the shoulder having problems, with his heart having problems. It could be shoulders, joints, muscles, all those things that plague us physically. We suffer disease, which when we say it, we should say disease, because it's our body's way of saying, I'm not happy with the way things are going. We're going to produce a result that makes you slow down. I'm going to put you in limp mode, it says. So the bodies force us to make an intervention, maybe to the auto repair shop, we call them hospitals, or the emergency clinic. The one on Devonport Road is quite a good emergency clinic. Okay. So spiritually, sometimes we hit limp mode in our spiritual life. We hit the accelerator to do more with our spiritual walk. And somehow, we get signals that we are hurting. Now spiritual life does a major slowdown. Maybe our ECM or our brain gets something wrong, and we hit the motorway instead of the quiet back road that was going to recharge us or get us to our destination. And we're left praying for an off-ramp to get us back to where we should be going. Often, we don't really know what's wrong, how we got there, or how to fix it even. So hopefully we can learn from my personal experience with Prius and ankle issues and apply a little bit of what we've learned to our spiritual healing and recovery. Back to the Prius analogy, accelerator. Sometimes we need to, or a particular situation requires us to decide suddenly to add a task to our spiritual walk, or a situation occurs where we need to step up in a major degree. We need to accelerate hard. We may have a family member or brother or sister that is having problems. We might have a worldly challenge. In my instance, maybe it's a new car to replace the Prius, or maybe not enough money to fix it. So sometimes it's a bit like me wanting to pass that concrete truck on the way to work. It's not really going fast enough, the concrete truck that is. And it's slowing me down. I could be doing so much more if only such and such and this and that would let me have the time. Time. Often the lack of it is one issue I'm not very good at dealing with. I want to go faster, to do more, but time won't let me. So how do we prioritize? I'm borrowing a little bit here from the Jesus journeys from last weekend. Now Jeff was saying that Jesus in the last week of his life resided at a place not far from Jerusalem, Bethany I think it was. Now my footnote says an eighth of a mile, Jeff says 2 to 3 kilometres, but it's a bit of a walk and it takes a little bit of time to get there. Now, we also calculated maybe 45 minutes at a brisk walk to travel that distance. How long did it take Jesus? And why? Why did it take that long? Okay, Jesus sets out from Bethany. He probably starts off with a fairly brisk stride. And a person with a demon or physical disability comes into view. Oh, looks like they're going to slow him down. Looking a bit like a concrete truck. Stopping us getting to the synagogue on time. We pull out to overtake. We mustn't slow down. Have to get to the synagogue. Mustn't be late. They're expecting me. No. Stop. That person that's getting in the road needs help. Those at the synagogue can wait a while longer. This person is important. Yahweh wants this person, and you are the one he wants to minister them with the hope of eternal life. Jesus stops. He converses. He heals. He admonishes them if need be. He holds out the gift of drinking from the spring of eternal waters of life. Bethany to Jerusalem becomes 2 to 3 hours rather than 45 minutes. Would he pass the concrete truck? Speed past that person needing a lift? Didn't see that they were crying their eyes out because they missed the bus, because they were late for work, because their dodgy car had finally broken down and they needed to get to work because they were on final notice for being late. They're desperate for help. A drug addict that knows he's in real trouble because he's overdosed and he needs help in a hurry. Maybe someone needs someone to talk to in their lonely life because they feel totally unloved and unloving. They don't like it, but don't know what to do about it. Maybe they're suicidal because of their hate for the situation that they're in. Now, how important really is getting to the synagogue on time? Jesus prioritized the person. He prioritized the person every time. From disciples stripping corn on the Sabbath, David's men eating showbread meant for the priests, to the Gadarene demoniac and woman with the issue of blood. The list could go on and on and on. Every time it was the people first. Every time Jesus stopped, he turned around for the woman. He sat with the demoniac. For the people, when they saw the demoniac, saw him seated and in his right mind, and Jesus with him. So I ask myself, do I? I've had a little bit of contact over the years with Maori time and island time, and come to the realization these people are not lazy or tardy. It's just that people are more important in their lives. So my struggle has been sometimes that my focus has been on the time restrictions rather than the people that are important. Having to be on time all the time is a huge restriction, and it's part of the world that we live in. The hall has to be vacated by a certain time. We have to do this. We have to do that. It's all self-inflicted, and I'm not criticizing here, but island time is great, where people come first. We need to stop passing the concrete trucks in our hurry to get to wherever we're going in our spiritual walk or race. Just because Paul talks about running the race doesn't really mean that we literally have to run. He was saying life has been tough. It will be for us. We'll have obstacles. We'll have burdens. We'll have challenges. What Paul is saying is we need, like him, to get to the end of our lives with our heavenly integrity intact, to finish the race that we may receive the victor's crown. When we get this race or running wrong, a little bit like the throttle body on the Prius, it doesn't get the signal that it should, and it doesn't feed the gas needed to pass that concrete truck, and we get up beside it, wave embarrassing to the driver as we unexpectedly have to slow down, and then we have to get out of the road in order to avoid getting run over by the next truck coming through. So in relation to us, what's our throttle body? And this is pretty much where I started my initial exhortation for this morning, with the heart. And this is the only mention of the heart I managed to fit into the whole exhortation. We have this impulse to do whatever, something that requires our attention. Heart doesn't feel right about it. It can't give us the acceleration that we need to accomplish whatever we've set out to do. It doesn't get the signal from our ECM, our brains. Our brain's saying, I don't have any error codes, so I don't know what to do. So I'm going to go into limp mode to keep everything safe. So we ring someone we trust for help to get a tow home or to the auto electricians. We sit for a while, occasionally getting wheeled out into the street as no one really knows what to do with us. We reset the error codes, hoping somehow to address the problems. We fiddle with the petrol cap because someone told us that it worked for them. Then somehow we find ourselves mobile again. A bit cautiously, because we don't know whether it's going to happen again. But gradually we get more confident it won't. But now we appreciate being able to move again. Those nerve signals are slowly reducing, and we can move more freely the way we are designed to do, with care and a vision to do what is right with our God. Yahweh is so good to us. He's built these safety features into each of us. Some of us, in particular me, need to learn to, however, not pass these concrete trucks in our lives. To take more time for people with demons, disabilities, challenges. They need our help from someone. And Yahweh has chosen us to be that person. Sometimes we are going to have to endure the pain in order to finish the race. To be able to say, I have done all that I am able and capable of. Sometimes it may mean we have to lay down our lives for our friends. And I note here that the word is friends, not brothers and sisters. Then we can say, with great satisfaction, it is finished. Then we will experience the joy of eternal life to come. Can we do this despite all the pain and suffering we know will come? One has done it before. He can and does help us when we crumble in weakness. He carries us when our spiritual accelerator just doesn't work. Can we be Christ for others?